Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache. Great to have everyone getting here in the chat room and showing up on this Wednesday. Hello, everyone. We have a great program today as well. Really looking forward to it. Hi in the chat. Those of you that are getting in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, some of you, I got an email, got booted out. Just refresh and reboot if you need to. Hello, everyone listening via TuneIn Radio, FM Player, of course, BTR Archives, and, of course, iTunes. Easiest, best ways to get in touch with us, to hear us. If you can join us live, that's great. We're here every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah. So, welcome, everyone. And if you have questions, comments, or you'd like to get a reading, that number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And those of you that are astrologers, if I can have the program, we're going to be talking to Daniel Fiverson, talking about Pluto, the biggest challenge or blessing. And Daniel Fiverson is an evolutionary astrologer. And I like him. I mean, we had Gail on last week, too, which was, she was really great as well. And, you know, they break it down so that it's not just a bunch of aspects, you know, not just a bunch of astrological aspects, you know, talking not just astrology, but in kind of layman's terms or what it means. And so anybody can really benefit by knowing. I always look at it, whether just getting a reading, you know, psychic reading, channeling, intuitive session, numerology, astrology, any of these divination tools or oracles, as we call them, or even just a great coaching session or counseling session. You know, I look at it really kind of prophylactic. It's like this preparation. It's like the weather report. You know, you can get a report that this is the cycle you're in. This is what's coming up for you. And you could either resist it, you know, or you can plan. In other words, if you hear on the weather report, it's going to be raining and it's going to be, you know, storming and a lot of wind. You know, it's up to you whether you want to bring a raincoat, windbreaker, I don't know, poncho, jean jacket, whatever you want to bring, a hat, umbrella, or not. Or you could say, okay, I don't care, I'll get wet. So many people that I work with are constantly telling me, especially when I give them reading, oh, I'm so glad I got this reading with you because now I see what's coming up. I see what to prepare for. And sometimes you can do your own reading, you know, kind of get in a meditative state, in a centered state, and look around what's happening in your life, what keeps coming up, and follow that, call that. You know, I so many times see in people's lives, like, wow, they're not listening. This keeps coming up for them. They keep meeting people that are going in this direction, or they keep saying, yeah, I want to check that out, or that's good for me, or I want to know more about this, but then they don't act on it, you know, and that's where I find having a person to work with, whatever, spiritual life coach, therapist, do residency patterning, hypnotherapy, whatever, somebody that is trained but has gone through it, that you know they've excelled in their life, that can, good friends, I have, you know, you all hear me talk about my friends. I have really, really, really good friends that hold me accountable. All the people that I work with, my support team, all reflect, or they have the tools so they can reflect back on me and say, well, what are you really feeling? Or that keeps coming up, or that doesn't, you know, when you're talking about this new project or direction, your energy is going down. It's like drudgery. You're, you know, you're not, it's not creating with more vital life energy. So you need people like that in your life if you really want to, you know, go to your next level, if you want to move forward. You need people reflecting the better version of you, the better picture of you, where you want to go, you know, because to some degree, you know, one of my teachers told me this a long time ago, to some degree, where we want to go is already inside us. It's already encoding for our, you know, unfolding and fulfillment. What blocks it is the wounded ego. You know, the wounded or constructed ego has the disowned parts of ourselves, the disowned self, and, it, you know, it's the inner child, the wounded inner child is in there. And it's our wounding that keeps us stuck, you know. So it's kind of, you know, you have to really want, you have to want it. It's like anything in life. You have to really want it, and then you have to prioritize. I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned over the years is that if I don't really want something, I'm not going to do it. Or if I really want something and I keep, you know, and I'm not doing it, then I have to ask myself why. If this thing is so important to me, why am I not doing it? You know, why am I saying that I want to do this, but I'm not doing it? You know, and that's the question. Why are you not doing what you say you want to do? Why are you not putting people in your life that can support your better self, your new direction? I had a friend this other day, you know, and I've worked with her for a while. We actually started booty yoga together, and we've done a lot of stuff. But she just wasn't into working out so much or kind of being healthy. And I had to kind of let it go because I used to be, let's go. Right, let's go to the gym, let's go to this class, let's do this, and oh no, you know, there's always backache, this and that, that and this is happening. So I let it go. And then recently she called me and said, you know, where do you work out at? What gym? I want to do a class. And I'm like, yay, you know, because I don't mind doing stuff by myself, but it's also, you know, it's fun to have a bro friend, a girl or guy friend to come along with you, right? So kind of what I want everybody to do, and I've been doing this for my next level, is look around and see, who are the people that are going to your, you know, on the same kind of ride with you? Who are the people that are going, that you see in your life right now that you would call a good influence? You know, my mom always, and I hated this thing, but I look back and it's so true because it's all about resonance. Birds of a feather flock together. Tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. And I kind of look at that and I go, wow, it is so true. And metaphysically, why is it true? Because of resonance. You know, we hang out with people, we draw in situations into our life that resonate with parts of us, you know, or a bigger part of us. And so if you're not seeing what you like in your life, you have to ask yourself, why? What are you really resonating towards? What is there? And if, you know, and many of you know, I mean, I've got wonderful tools on my selfandlight.com website that address this, you know, and some are free. I've got the Daily Own Course, Navigate Your Greatest Soul Shift, you know, all these supports, you know, coming to programs like this, there's other programs. I always talk about people in chat, you know, Facebook, you know, you can't just read though. You need a mentor. You need a teacher. You need someone that can verbalize to you, because we're, you know, we're pretty good at fooling ourselves, myself included. You know, I can sometimes think I'm doing the right thing, and then when I, you know, meditate or do my I Ching, I go, oh well, wow, that was, geez, that was that wounded part of me really doing a great job of thinking that I'm the, you know, all that, and I was like totally triggered. So okay, I see you. My lovely chat came back. I don't know what was going on. Had some technical difficulties. Hey, Laura. Hi, Tamara. Welcome, guests. Again, the number to call in for reading, to chat, to say hey is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know that you want to get heard. I had an email question come in, and I want to address that really quickly. Between luck and Mary. I like that. And this person saying, just looking to get some perspective on this new relationship that I've recently got into. Everything was going well and suddenly got this weird feeling, inexplicable and very uncomfortable. I would like to ask, what do you see going on with this? For one thing, and I see October 9, December 14 birthday, I'm like, there's some major aspects right now if we're going to look astrologically. But I feel like a lot is being dredged up from the past with both of you, and especially with him. And I would say, Mary, you're getting a feeling or a vibe that this may be a bumpier road, or there could be some disappointment or hurt there. And I feel that sometimes we get things through dreams, or we get things subconsciously and we don't know how to read it. And sometimes it comes up through a bit catastrophically. And, you know, I've had that myself, where I've had dreams of somebody's going to hurt me or something's going on. And then months later, I do end up getting hurt. Something did happen. Something was going on. And so I always think it's not about jumping out, but to find what is being triggered and maybe emotionally just take a step back and get a little more balance and see, do I know this person yet, or do I need to know them more? Are they triggered and going through their own stuff? And then, you know, consequently, you know, I'm getting hurt. I'm in the, you know, the crosshairs or the crossbow on this. You know, I'm in the bullseye. But it's amazing. We always get the signal from our body, and it's just sometimes we don't know. It's we have to just go through it, but that doesn't necessarily mean the body's not going to respond. And that's a really, really important thing to know, you know, for lack of a better word. I years ago had a client of mine say, well, God, you see all this stuff coming up, and I still have to go through this. And I shared with him, I said, yeah, I can't tell you how many things I see psychically, whether for myself or other people, and it's part of the path to go through it. So psychically knowing something doesn't necessarily mean you can avoid it, you can change it. Sometimes you can. Some things are destiny issues, they're growth issues, soul growth issues. They are, whether you feel something in the pit of your stomach, or you feel nausea, or something's happening going on, or something incongruent, somebody's actions are not aligning with their words, something's happening, you're going to feel that in your body. You're going to have flashes of insight or intuition. But you may not know, just sometimes, because I've sometimes just left something or, you know, moved on, whether it was whatever, it was a personal relationship or a business, and you don't yet know, you don't get the wisdom always that way. Remember, it's not just about knowing what's coming up. Part of the game of on this earth experience, the soul playground, as I like to call it, is wisdom, the growth of our individual aspect of being, the ego personality grows and gets wise to be able to say, I experienced this before, not just for us, but also for other people to pass it on. So sometimes we kind of do have to go through things. You know, and believe me, sometimes I wish, you know, I could just take a pass from quite a few things that I've experienced in my past or even experiencing now. I'd like to just say, oh, shoot, I saw that coming, and let me, you know, not get into it. But what kind of position is that, right? What it's saying is that this life is about win and lose, and this life is not about winning and losing. That's being stuck in duality. As soon as you think somebody's winning and you're losing, you're way off the mark. That's not the soul at all. That's the constructed ego. That's coming from the old paradigm of mainstream consciousness. The idea that there's winners and losers, there never is, because even in games, you know, even in, you know, racing, you know, even in tennis, it may seem like somebody, yeah, they win a match and the other person loses, but there's a bigger picture of what's going on there. So we're not black and white. There's no winners and losers in relationship. You know, there's, if you're looking at that, then you're really sucking the juice, the magic, the mystery out of your life. You're not looking at what are you learning, the soul, you know, as unfoldment, connecting more to your soul, being more spiritually aware, awakening more, lessons of helping someone else, compassion, love, understanding, empathy, learning more about trust, vulnerability. Our true strength is in our vulnerability and opening. And many of you know that you've listened to my program. That's been a biggie for me. I'm really learning through years. Tamara in the chat is even commented on this, that I'm learning more about a new level of opening to being kind of more open, raw, you know, not just in session and with clients, but in life, you know. So I would suggest to everybody, take a peek and see where are you really at? What keeps coming up for you? You know, and people always hear me say this. You know, sometimes I get people calling in or, you know, emailing me and saying, well, what do you mean by that? And what I mean is you have to take a space, a breath, in your life. You know, you have to, in order to become more awake, more aware, more live more enlightened, you have to observe yourself. You have to be in a process. You can't always be in, like I said, that win-lose mode. You have to keep things to process. You have to see what is beginning, what's unfolding, and what's new coming from that. Truly, there really is never an end. You know, even if a relationship seemingly ends, it goes on in a different way or goes on through other people. So, Lars saying, wow, Blog Talk is a little rough today. The chat room would open, but I couldn't type. Yeah, I had the same, and then my chat was fine, and then all of a sudden it just shifted and said I had to re-log in. So I was kind of maneuvering it. So if some of you guys got bounced out, just refresh and then reboot if need be. They're doing a lot of upgrading in the back end, and I think that's affecting. Yeah. Let me give that number. Call in 347-539-5122. Let's get to the phone lines and see what you guys have to say. Okay, 917-538, you're on Awakenings. Hello. Can you hear me? 917-538, you're on Awakenings. Okay, maybe we'll come back to you. I hope. Chat, my co-hosts, cohorts, co-pilots, and sound engineers, let me know if the chat, can you hear me? Let's try this again. 917-538. Okay, come back to you. 678-467, you're on Awakening.
Hi, this is Kathy from Georgia.
Hey, Kathy, welcome. Welcome to the program. Do you have a question or comment?
A question. I'm having some issues with an insurance claim, and I had escalated upward to assistant vice president. Basically, the issue is they're not honoring a verbal agreement that was made. Now they're doing an in-house investigation. Do you see a positive result, or do I need to go outside to the insurance commissioner on my end? I guess, what do you see?
I really feel you need to go outside. You need to get, and it does so probably by phone, email, and then there will be an actual meeting. It is showing it'd be better for you to have outside representation. Don't be afraid to get help in this, because I feel like whatever's going on with you, it's happened before with that company. And I do am seeing that there's a bit of a tendency to kind of cover their, you know what, cover their bum. So, I would just don't dink around anymore. Just look at it and go and tell yourself, let's just cover all bases. Let's just get it handled. Do the commissioner, get an advocate, somebody that can also be there on your behalf. Because I do feel you're getting a bit of a runaround is what I'm hearing. I do feel there's been a mistake on one part, male. There will be a female. I don't know if it's a secretary or assistant kind of person that will be helping. And then there seems to be an older gentleman that is like a supervisory position or something. But, yeah, just nip it in the bud. Get the help, the support that's set up there. So you can get this done more quickly. Otherwise, I feel it's going to go round and round. It shows the runaround.
So
all
you're
right?
saying it won't. Can I just ask one quick question on that?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying if I don't go outside, it's not going to be handled?
I feel runaround, yeah. And I don't feel the because I feel there's monies involved in this. The monies could be, less, or they could say, well, you actually said this to him, or he interpreted it this way. I just really feel you need to, get the outside help and don't just rely on what is in the system. It'll be worth it to you, and it'll get done a lot more quickly. Okay?
Okay.
Keep us posted. All right, Kathy. All right, much peace.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you have questions or comments, if you'd like to call in, that number is 347-539-5122. Press pound on 1 on your keypad. Hi, 860-836, you're on Awakening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Who am I speaking with?
This is Annie.
Annie? Hi, Annie. Welcome.
How you doing?
Good. You have questions, comments?
Yeah, I have a question. I was wondering what you see for my love life.
Okay. And give me your birthday, just for the heck of it.
12/16. Do you need the year?
Okay. No, that's cool. Okay. All right. So let's see. One thing I feel around you is you've been thinking of somebody for a long time. Is there kind of for you one that got away, or one you kind of keep replaying in your head?
In the sense, I'm releasing him for good, for finally.
Yeah.
I'm bigger forgiveness and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is kind of having to get taken care of or done. You're getting closer to being open. I actually feel this cycle, probably till about October, November this year, is going to really be more about you releasing him. You know, one thing that I would do is I would write on a paper what you liked about him, what you got about him, the things that you and what you didn't. You know, what wasn't working? What did you learn? What wasn't working? And what qualities that you liked, okay? Because I feel like for you right now, some meditation or visioning on what it is that you want will help in this grieving process. Because it is showing he's still very much, you're moving through him. And you even said you're in the process of finally, from really that this is it. You know, no more back and forth, no more what did I do, what did he do, what I've done differently. And I would say, whether nature, spiritual center, church, synagogue, I don't know, Muslim, whatever, find a place where you're going to get your soul, more of a soul connection and your spirit renewed. What I see October, November on is you're going to be, because you've been a little more inward. So I do feel that you're going to find yourself in new, and I don't know, there could even be a new position job-wise or something. I see you around new people, I would say from October on. So the holiday season into the new year, it's like a fresh, breath of fresh air. And that's when I see someone else actually coming in for you, okay? So you can start the cycle sooner if you'd like, but you're still kind of inward and, like you said, getting rid of, I'm really releasing this.
And it's interesting. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's also, go ahead. No, what were you going to say? It's also what?
No, I was just going to say, it's kind of like, it's not only just him, it's just like, it because it was karmic, it's like these other friendships, even with girlfriends, guy friends, very similar. So that's what is happening.
Yes.
It's not necessarily him anymore. It's
but
it's the
template.
The first
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yes. And, there's things on my website, the 5-step emotional clearing process, it's repatterning. That could be helpful to you. There's a free write-up one that you can just copy and paste. Then there's a CD. But really work. That's why I say one of the things when we do this, one of my clients told me it's actually Ben Franklin who said this also, like the Ben Franklin tea, like you put the pros and the cons. If you do this, it helps you move on. If you look and see what was working, you know, or what didn't I like, let yourself go there first. I didn't like this, he did that, or she did this, I don't want that, or this friend, that friend. And then really have at it. What's the betrayal? What was the trust issue there?
I've done all of that, and I'm burning, and I'm like burning the betrayal and the
no,
all of it.
No, you're not hearing me.
Sorry.
You're not hearing the next part. That's
okay.
Not enough. You have to then look and see what, and to end with what you like. That's what brings it to peace and compassion. Because when we stay in the mode of what we didn't like, or what we call, you know, if you want to term negative, what someone did to us, it lowers our vibrational frequency because then we stay in the victim mode. So need to do is look at and celebrate what you received from them, what you like, you know, what the fun stuff. You need to connect with that. And then you need, in your meditation or your visioning, you need to say, I'm now drawing somebody in with more of these qualities that you did like. Okay? Yes. And that's really going to rapid, you know, start to shift it for you. You know, and you may have new qualities that you want as well. I would also suggest you identifying the qualities that you like within yourself that you want your friends or mate to have.
Got it.
You know, so if you like
okay.
to give, you better be saying, I want to draw in a giver. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? And that's going to really help shift it for you.
Okay. Okay, so I
yeah.
see what you're saying. You have to let him go, but then also replenish and just reset by saying, what are the things, what compassion did I have for the other person as well? I get it. All right.
Well,
then,
what did they give you? See, there was some good stuff. You need to connect with the good stuff. Otherwise, it keeps your vibrational frequency lower. In other words, let's say I go to a concert and I have my friend is late. Let's say all this stuff happens. They're late, the parking, and I'm in a grumpy mood. And that's all I keep focusing on. That chronologically focusing on that is constricted energy. It's energy that hampers me in. But if I look at it and go, yeah, but the music was great, the concert was great, and we actually met somebody and we got to go backstage. If I now, my vibrational frequency is raising. I'm having an opening, you know. So that's what
right.
I want you to do. I want you to go back, not just empathy for him or compassion, but what you like from him or these other friends that you like, that you receive, the qualities
yes.
that you want to go on. Yes.
Okay.
All right, Annie?
That makes sense.
Okay.
I'm going at it right now. Yes.
Yes. I love that. Yay.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you for raising my vibration.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Ooh, you
bye-bye.
Feel it? You feel it now?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
You feel it?
I do.
Great. Yeah. That's what's going to draw in those other people, the other template, you know, higher, more expanded vibrational frequency.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Big hug. Bye. Hi, we have 818-421. Welcome to Awakenings. Hello.
Hi, Michelle. It's Sadie.
Hey, Sadie. Welcome. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you, too. I have a quick question regarding my mother-in-law. It's
okay.
been an odd, a hard situation, and we haven't talked to her in over a year, and I'm just kind of wanting to check in to kind of see more of, like, where she's at in all this, like, if she's just kind of checking in with
okay.
all that, because we're fine leaving it alone, but... I'm just kind of interested to see where she might be at with this.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. She's definitely pulled back. It's definitely showing a detachment on her side and a bit of sadness or grief. So she's kind of in a little woe is me, lamenting that this part of the family isn't together, but oh well, this is how it is. And, you probably either don't hear from her very much or won't. If I looked at it astrologically, it's like, you know, the moon in Aquarius in the fourth house. She's really that Cancerian energy. It's
it's a little swampy in there, you know. It's a little, she also has issues with women, it shows. And I do feel that for her, she usually blames the wife, the girlfriend, the woman in the situation. It's more
yeah.
like the woman is supposed to keep things going. The woman is supposed to keep tradition. The woman is supposed to be there emotionally because the guy is not going to do it. That's kind of how she thinks. So
yeah.
You're probably feeling some blame coming to you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because my sister-in-law asked her if she's ever tried being friends with me, and she said, why should I have to be friends with her? I'm the matriarch of the family.
So.
Well, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so well, this is a so this is a person that is absolutely not, you know, now I always say, you know, leave a little opening because there can be divine intervention or something can happen. But as things stand now, unless some tragedy happens, or some, which I'm not seeing that, or, you know, some big something, I feel she wouldn't reach out. I feel even if she was in the hospital or something, she wouldn't reach out. It would be the people around her. That
yeah.
would reach out. Here's what I'm seeing. It's saying to be detached as well, like focus on your stuff, your family.
Okay.
However, it is saying cards or holidays you know, we went here and would like to share this with you, you know. But it's saying detached. So I'm hearing that it'd be more like snail mail cards or email, you know, definitely on the holidays and birthdays. If you guys, let's say, took a trip as a family, there might be, we're sharing this with everybody, you know. So maybe you send it to your mom and dad and her, you know, saying, or friends. It's saying to keep the contact in, but not to keep your individuality, keep the boundaries kind of tight. It's not it overtures right. If you may see, here's the thing. Part of what I see, and we divine misses for me, blame, shame, and guilt that others put on us can be resisting lack of taking responsibility. And that's just what I was going to say. She's supposed to be learning accountability right now and responsibility and to learn a new way. We're all supposed to be learning a new way right now. In other words, and I've been talking about this on the program, where are we stuck in repetitive patterns? We need to look in, because we're not going to learn something different if we say, well, I always did it this way, or I'm the matriarch, so everybody needs to come to me. Well, yeah, but maybe right now you're learning something new. So it's really showing you're not supposed to be going bending over backwards. Now, here's what happens to the people that aren't particularly like that. We don't understand that. We say, well, surely we can talk it out. Surely by now they'll have relaxed and things will change, or they'll be, you know, more accepting or more flexible. And no, surely you are, because you're doing your inner work. That's what you have to look at. Has this person, this is what I suggest to people, you have to ask, has this person been doing counseling? Have they been doing inner work? Have they had some kind of introspection and change? And if the answer is no, then that means they're the same as they are, and you're going to be walking into that. But at the same time, it's saying keep the connection there, but in a detached way. So I don't know what that is for you. You know, definitely the cards, you know, the holidays and things like that. But if
I'll definitely have to see where I'm comfortable and my boundaries with that, because I basically, after last year and everything that had happened and went down, I basically just told my husband, I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm tapping out. Like, radio silence for me. Like, I can't do anymore. I don't want to go there.
Well,
and I can't go in her world with her where I'm the problem and she's unwilling to compromise or talk about anything.
But it may be just him. If he wants to send the birthday card, then there it is. You know what I mean? Or the Christmas card or whatever. You know, put him in charge of that. It doesn't have to be you. You know,
okay.
The learning, what it's showing here, the learning lesson, whatever you've done in the situation, you've done as far as you can, and your learning
yeah.
is going to be just not being able to release control, because you don't have control of it. It's her. It's her. You know, like
right.
when people say, well, the ball is in your court. Well, it is in her court. She's supposed to
and
be
it's
having
It's been hard just because I've been so other-directed, so I'm always like, oh, I want you to like me, you know, what can I do? And so finally I realized I was such a pretzel, and it still wasn't working, and I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. So, no, that's good, because I've basically just completely cut off my own self just for my own protection, and I'm okay being shut down that way. But so this is going to be interesting to find this boundary of reaching out, but still, because I'm such an emotional person, to stay emotionally disconnected on a level that works for me, that doesn't engage.
But see, exactly. But see, it's on Christmas or holidays, whatever, Hanukkah, whatever you guys celebrate, it's where you're sending everybody. And it may be your husband doing it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or it's the printed card. It's saying not to cut off, but see, this is the thing. You need to reframe this. You're not shutting down. So you want to still keep the potential, the possibility there. There is a spiritual connection because they're in your life. There is a heart connection to some degree.
Yes.
She's very wounded and hasn't handled the wounding. And so you've gone as far as you can. This is what you have to understand. So you're learning in this, obviously, like you said, wanting to be more other-directed, is that sometimes people don't want to shift. You know, I had a situation, and I know I talked about this, because it was right when I was teaching at Agape, and I know I talked about this on the radio show. I definitely talked about it in my workshops, because I was so, you know, amazed at what happened. And I'll share it. It was an old neighbor who had a house across from mine, and we lived in had cottages, so it was fairly close. And I tried to be nice to this person. You know, I pretty much can get along with anybody, I mean, and I can have major blow up or somebody really freaks out on me, and I'm just able to just rise above. And I even had a mutual friend that was a friend of hers, and we had gone out before, and this person was just nasty, mean, nasty. And even my neighbors tried to say, Michelle, just leave her alone. She likes this. She's going to draw you in. And, oh, no, you know, I was thinking I can get along with anybody. I have the tools, you know, I'm teaching, I'm this, I'm that, spiritual, blah, 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 blah. Horrible, 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 upset. Even would park her car behind the back street, come behind my window and be on her cell phone so loud, and I'd have to ask her, can't you go to your house, your yard? Sorry, I'm just talking as I'm parking my car. I mean, it was just one thing after the other. I had to do, it took me 6 months of meditation to finally get what was going on. Like, I would just stew, and I'd meditate. Oh, yeah. And I finally, here's the thing, couple things that came to me. Number one, people can be addicted to drama, but you can also be addicted to things working out all the time and things being peaceful. That's where I was. I was addicted to peace and calm and getting along with everybody and being able to work through stuff. It had been so long since I'd had major drama in my life that I couldn't handle it. I couldn't just let her be angry. And the other thing that I learned from my meditation and also this mentor and teacher that I was talking to about it, some people want to be angry and negative. That's their thing. That's their divine aspect of God. That's what they're reflecting. Let them be. Why was it bothering me so much? Because I would see her, you know, cross the street, and she'd be scowling. Sometimes she'd even walk by me. I'd be walking Yoshi, and she'd be walking with friends, and they would say hi to me, and she would just scowl at me and look the other way. It was bothering me. I was taking it so personally, like, why is she doing this to me? I'm trying to be nicer. I even had to call the police on her, you know, one time, because she damaged some property, and I thought, that's it. I'm getting the big guns out. So finally what happened, Sadie, I let go of it. I said, that's it. I cannot be nice to everybody. I can't solve it, fix it. I can't meditate, will it away. This is her expression. This is what she's doing now, what she's stuck in. That's her. And every time I try to change her and be nice and like, can't we get along, it's disastrous. I swear, a week after I came to that conclusion, I had so much peace. Her cat got run over, and nobody would help her. And I ran out, and she was bawling and crying, and I ran out in the street, and she screamed, "I can't pick up my cat, I love my cat." And she was just all over. So I went and got my doormat and brought it to her and put it down, and she said, "I can't take this from you. It's your house doormat," whatever. And I said, "Oh, just take it, whatever." So I ended up being there for her and helping her. And she's like, "I can't believe you're helping me. Nobody would help me, you know." And then that shifted. After that, she was nice, you know, but I had to let go. I had to let go of trying to change her and just, you know, I didn't put resistance. I didn't say, "Oh, I hate her." You know, in fact, one time I was walking with a friend of mine. We were walking Yoshi, and she said, "Did you see that girl, how she looked at you?" I said, "Oh, yeah. She's angry and she doesn't like me." She said, "Really? Why?" I go, "I have no idea, whatever, but she's projecting on me, but I'm just leaving it alone." And it shifted. So that's kind of what I'm seeing with you, is you've got to just, this is her thing. Something will come to divinely shift it, or she will, you know, wake up to some degree and, you know, want to talk, whether it's your husband, you, or something. But it's clearly the ball is in her court. You cannot intervene. It'll just make it work,
okay.
You know?
Right. Okay.
And I think for you, what you said about you're so other-directed and you're trying to fix it and you're taking it as what's wrong with me or why doesn't she like me, has nothing. That's your lesson, to just understand that this really has nothing to do with you. You don't want to get in there and muck you around.
Okay.
Right?
Good. Thank you so much for all of that. It was very helpful.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's a tough one. I haven't gone through that again, but boy, when you go through it once and you get the learning in it, you spot it, you know. And then, you know, I even had a teacher say, "Well, why is it up to you to make them happy and to solve the problem, their problem? They have just as much, you know how or wisdom. They can, if they really want to do it." And I thought, that's right. Why am I taking this on? So you may ask yourself that too. Why are you taking this on? Why do you feel the need to take this on?
Yeah. Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Letting
Thank
it go.
You.
Don't try to control it. You're welcome. Calling in. Oh, so true. I mean, it's so interesting in my meditation that I realized, you know, because we talk about people getting addicted to drama. You know, you're thinking the other shoe is going to fall. You know, that's what's wrong with you. You think things are going to be negative. Something bad's going to happen. But you can also, you know, it's a default, you know, position, and it's not a balanced position to think that things are always going to be quote unquote good, you know, or what you want in life. You know, not always. So, Siren Dreams is putting it's been long. 13 long years with this lady. Siren Dreams, here's what I would say in that, you know, and this is how growth goes. It's not the days, the hours, the years. It's when we finally awaken to what happened. Like I told you, I had 6 months, you know, and my friend, it's funny, my friends, you know, some of them kind of well-meaning were saying, "Well, maybe you're angry and she's getting on." No. You know, don't give me this, you know, just very surface stuff. I'm not angry. It has nothing to do with that. You know, she's projecting the anger that you have inside, or maybe you don't really like her, or maybe it's a past life. And I'm like, no, that's not it. This is, you know, so when I sat with it, and part of the reason it took so long is I had so much charge over her behavior and her face. I'm not used to walking by people and scowling at them, even if they did something that bugs me, you know, or step in front of me or something. I just have a natural inclination when I see people, I smile, you know, or I say hi, especially if they're neighbors. So when you smile at somebody and they just glare at you or they look past you like they didn't hear you, that brought up a lot of stuff for me, you know, and so I had to be present. You know, I did my emotional clearing work on it. I did meditate. I had to be present to that for so long to get past the charge till finally the what was really going on came through. And what was my learning in it? Let it go. Let the person be how they are. They're not in your inner circle. You know, it's a neighbor. You know, let them be. So don't get in there. Don't be addicted to things. Always have to be peaceful or calm, or that you can always have to work things out, or you can save the day as the therapist, as the spiritual life coach, as the healer, as the starseed, as the light worker. I'm going to heal this, I'm going to help them, I'm going to give them light, and then they're going to all of a sudden have an epiphany and be calm and nice and see the world beautiful. You know, no. Some shift happened because she later went on, I heard years later, got pregnant by a Sherpa and married him and is living at the foot of the Himalayas. So go figure. You never know. You know, we could say how unevolved that person is or was, you know, but, you know, Crystal Bowles Gretton in the chat is saying, lightening up the energies helps a lot with these situations. Yes. Oh, and Tamara, if someone is closed off like this, the trick is to not do that. Yes. And then Divine Mystic is saying, yes, to have awareness of being a people pleaser really helps set you free from that energy not working for your highest good. Yeah, you know, it's, and this is why I find, like, there's general reasons why we do things, but when we do our own inner work, whether we work with someone or we have our own way of doing it and we stay with it, we get beyond the contriteness, the platitudes. We get to the depth. Who knew that my lesson was not being addicted to things, being peaceful and calm all the time and being able, and I say addicted, it's not like addiction, but used to it, you know, depending on always being able to handle things or work through things, not having conflict in my life. You know, I hadn't had conflict in my life in, you know, many years. And again, always able to just talk it through or reach a compromise, happy medium, or have a good conversation with someone, and the person I would be talking to had an epiphany, you know, had an aha, you know, and a wonderful shift. So I was kind of going in that role, you know, I am the light worker, I am the healer, we'll get through this. That's why I'm placed here. You know, we all feel, as light workers and starseeds especially, we always feel like we're placed somewhere to help people. But sometimes we're placed in situations to help ourselves, to learn something, you know, or just to let it be, to let it go and go, oh, that's that person's reflection in life. That's the divine reflection that they're doing. That's the trip they're doing. Oh, they're doing Angry Bird. That's their expression. And how can we see that and be okay with that and not take it personally until we have to do something about it or that it's about us? So it's harder, I know, if you have these kinds of people and situations in your, you know, family life, but it also applies there. Sometimes it's about not changing the person, but adjusting your, you know, your inner response, adjusting where you're at on an inner level, you know, is the way kind of to look at it, you know. Daniel Fiverson, I'm not sure if you're there. I don't know if you're 505-930. I have that's the number I have for you, but I see another 505 number. So I'm wondering if you're calling in. Tamara, thanks for calling in, Sadie. Yeah, Tamara, this is a great example of let it be response in the chat. Yeah, sometimes we're not meant to change something. We're meant to learn to let it be, as Tamara said. All right, so we have with us coming on air is Daniel Fiverson, evolutionary astrologer. You can find out information by going to four, evolutionaryastrology.com. And we're going to do a short overview, or he's going to do a short overview of the meaning of Pluto in the birth chart. We had a lot of people email and say, I have Pluto in this house. This is what's going on. And we'll be taking callers also. And so those of you, you know, he will look at the birth data, cast the chart, He's going to do a short synopsis of the correlation of Pluto in each house and why that's so important in evolutionary astrology as a way, also as a bit of what evolutionary astrology is. If you want to get a little down low on him while you're listening, or perhaps you're in the chat, again, the website is the number four, evolutionaryastrology.com. And want to welcome to the program Daniel Fiverson. Hello, Daniel. Hello. I'm hoping, well, maybe it's him then. 505-670. Okay. Well, I'm not sure. Let me ask Sadie Kins. Well, welcome, Daniel, in the chat. Maybe not yet. Sadie, what time is he calling in? Okay. Daniel, if you're in the queue, press #1 on the keypad to let me know that you are, that it's you. I'm not seeing the number. Thanks, son. You're going to check with him. Okay. So after that, sometimes guests use different numbers. We have numbers. So I just have a list of numbers. I don't actually have names, and we don't obviously have a screener. He was calling in at 12:45, so I don't see him. So we're waiting for Daniel Fiverson. I'm not sure where he's calling in. I hope that there's not a little time glitchy. We shall see. Okay, let's see. Calling in at 12:45. Let's see, Simon Dreams. Maybe if you can email. Okay. All right. That those of you that are listening by phone, if you do have a question or a comment, Daniel Fiverson. Okay, there he is there. Just did. Simon Dreams, thank you so much. Okay, so if you're just tuning in now, perhaps you're surfing in the program or you just joined us by computer or by phone, we do have Daniel Fiverson, who is an astrological intuitive. And he practices what's called evolutionary astrology. And he's been a student of astrology and metaphysical since the conjunction of Uranus and Pluto in Virgo in the late 60s. Wow. After being introduced to the I Ching and Tarot and reading Autobiography of Yogi, this altered Daniel's understanding of spirituality and religion. And he was increasingly attracted to spiritual teachers who worked with intuitive development and self-actualization through conscious intention. Again, if you would like to get a little bit of a download on him, and while you're listening, you can go to his site, forevolutionaryastrology.com, and that's the number forevolutionaryastrology.com. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michelle. Can you hear me?
I can.
Am
definitely
I here?
Can.
All right.
Yeah, you're
right.
Here.
I apologize.
You're here with all
I apologize
of
for the. I apologize for the technical mix-up. I was in the wrong medium, but here we are.
Oh, that's okay. That's cool. It's been an interesting day today. We've had a lot of Simon Dreams. Yay, we can hear you. Tamara is saying, welcome, Daniel. Great that you could come join us. Yep. Yeah, so we had a lot of
welcome.
Little technical little glitches today, a lot of little things, so I don't know what's going on, but we're all here.
Great.
If you could touch on just briefly, because we always are having new listeners, what evolutionary astrology is and then why Pluto is so looked at as so important. And then we can dive into the other stuff.
Great. That's a good start. Evolutionary astrology is a soul-centered perspective. We look at the lessons of the soul from lifetime to lifetime. And the reason Pluto's so important is because Pluto actually correlates to the soul. So it's the gateway into the chart. When we look at Pluto, when we kind of deconstruct it, if you would, you know, understand how it's working by sign and by house and by aspects to other planets, the entire chart unfolds because it's the base note of the chart. If it was an orchestra, it's that boom, 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 you know, marking the time of the chart, marking the time of the chart itself.
Okay, I love that. And then it said that it's Pluto, but it's also where it is in your house. Not only the sign, but because that's generational, but the house that it falls in. I remember last time we were on the program, you were saying that that's kind of a shows where you're learning. It's kind of an activation point and shows. Gives a good indication of what will be emphasized for you this lifetime.
Yes, because, I mean, you know, think about it. If Pluto stays in a sign for 15, 17, almost 20 years, then
right.
If all we looked at was the sign, everybody would kind of be the same, and we know clearly that they're not. So in terms of Pluto, from my perspective, you know, the house that it falls in is equally important, if not more important than the sign. And obviously they're both significant because the sign that Pluto is in gives us that generational perspective that we all bring in, the bus that we came in on, so to speak. But the house that it falls in the chart of the individual really defines where it's working for that person.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is working?
Pluto's the cycle of lessons that we've brought with us. So generationally, we have lessons. You know, for instance, Leo is very creative. So the Pluto and Leo generation have a lot of creativity. It's a creative self-actualization. So they, as a generation, and I'm speaking for myself, we have, you know, brought in a whole, you know, kind of thought. Dan Rogers said that we basically planted the seed for the Aquarian age, if you would. Generation, the planet grows through the generations that come upon it, if you would. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Could say that again? The
planet itself is evolving through the generations that are born onto it.
Yeah. So it's, and that's why, you know, they always say, you know, we come in with these soul groups, you know, that we're learning either the same thing, maybe in different ways, or the similar thing, you know, with these generational emphasis that we happen to come in with, right?
Yes. And then there are, if you want to take the analogy a little bit further, maybe it's like a train, and there's separate cars in each train. You know, for the shorter time spans of each of these Pluto generations, where was Neptune? Where was Uranus, et cetera? So there are kind of subdivisions in it. You know, people who are different parts of the itinerary, if you would. I'm not quite sure how to explain that analogy, but I think you understand what I'm saying.
Yes. So, and what's your contention, just as a side note, that Pluto, I always look at it, I still look at it as a planet, but then they know they say that it's a subplanet or something else. Does that really matter at all?
There's no way that Pluto is sub-anything. Yeah, from my perspective, it's not sub-anything.
It packs a wallop. I remember years ago I had Pluto was transiting my second house. And I, at the same time, I'd had this dream about get rid of it before you have to. And so there was all this, you know, looking at what I really need, myself as resources, money, this and that. And I'd been traveling around the world and I gathered all this stuff. I gave stuff away and people were like, why? And I said, I'm going with this cycle. I'm going with Pluto. I am not going to be resisting and fighting Pluto. Okay. That's the same.
That was so wise, because you're going to go either way. You're going to go proactively or you're going to go kicking and screaming. But Pluto takes no prisoners.
Exactly. Well, that's what, at the time, an astrology and metaphysical teacher of mine had said, you know, again, Pluto takes no prisoners. You're going to go one way or the other. And I said, let's go with it and learn instead of resisting and holding on. Because I'd seen people do that years, you know, later. And I thought, ooh, because it wasn't a bad transit for me at all. But I could see people, you know, wanting to hold on and not grow. And, you know, it really, it has an agenda. It has what you need to have happen on a soul level. And, yeah, you're right. You can either go with it or kicking and screaming. You can flow or scream. You know, it doesn't care. The transformation is going to be there.
Exactly.
Look, we had, and by the way, if people do have questions for Daniel, you can call in at 347-539-5122. Please press #1 on the keypad that lets us know you want to get on air. Now, one of the things, and you touched on it last time you were here, and we had, you know, questions about this, a short overview of the meaning of Pluto in the birth chart, and then what's the correlation of Pluto in each sign, just a little bit so that people know. Because I think even right now there's so much transformative energy on the planet right now that I think people
That's an understatement. That's an understatement.
Yeah. Yeah? Tell me. Yeah?
I think we all know it. The world is going through. I think this is one of the most epic times in history that we have chosen to be born into. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like how you say that we've been chosen. I mean, it is, you know, it is a very, very transformative, uprooting time, you know, disruptive period of growth. That we all, like you say, have chosen. We've come here to be in this energy. We are this energy. We're part of this energy.
Yeah, yes.
You know, work and create through it. You know, and to me, that's also, when you say that, it's also kind of saying, getting on board with it and saying, you know, you're here for a reason, you know.
Well, that's such a huge discussion. I don't know where to begin. Let me kind of start at the top with my notes and we'll kind of work into it. Pluto is our deepest, the soul's deepest unconscious security needs. It's our deepest emotional patterns, and it comes from the record of all the events of our past, all our triumphs and tragedies are all contained, you know, in our karmic memory. And what we're talking about literally is karma. We're talking about the cycle of lessons, you know, that we have brought with us, or where, you know, lifetime to lifetime, we pick up where we left off. So when we come into this lifetime, we're basically just starting out wherever it was that we were in the journey of the soul. It's what we brought with us. Pluto describes our current cycle of lessons, and we don't have to do a lesson a lifetime. It doesn't quite work that way. We go through whole cycles of lifetimes working on perhaps a group of lessons or, you know, a particular cluster. It's kind of hard to define because it's the spectrum is so wide. But we work on lessons over a number of lifetimes, and generally there's actually 8 primary lifetimes that we spend in any given cycle of lessons. So most of us are, you know, somewhere within that process. You know, we could be at the beginning, we could be at the end, or we're somewhere in the middle.
I like that. So that is Divine Mystic put in the chat, like the chrysalis who thinks it's dying and reborn as the butterfly. Yeah, Pluto does seem to have this kind of cyclical vibration, energy process to it. Would you say that's true? It seems,
Yeah, absolutely. And the chrysalis, the butterfly, is actually the analogy that I use. It's the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. But, you know, relative to what you said a couple of minutes ago about the resistance, the emotional resistance to change, you know, there's a joke I like to tell that the caterpillar looked up at the butterfly and said, "You'll never get me up in one of those things." So, you know, this is what we're up against. It's human nature to hold on to what's familiar. We really don't want to change. We stay in a relationship. We stay in a job that we know doesn't work for us, but it's familiar. We're numb to the pain. We know how to deal with it. And what the change, what's newer, what's out there, is scarier than what we're working with, or we think it is anyway. And when the pain becomes greater than the fear, we do make a change.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. So let's go through. I think you should have notes on this. I think it could be helpful, and we had a lot of emails on this. A short synopsis of the correlation of Pluto in each house sign. And I think you said the house is most important. So if we can you know, however you want to do that.
Pretty much, I think that if there's anybody who's listening or, you know, even going to ever listen to this that has Pluto in more than four signs, they're either very young or very, very old. Basically, you know, we're looking at between Cancer and Scorpio. So, you know, there's almost nobody on the planet anymore with Pluto and Gemini, and the Pluto and Sagittarius, and certainly the Pluto and Capricorn people are quite young. So we're working with that's why the houses are so important. But I'm going to go through all 12 houses because from an evolutionary astrology perspective, Michelle, it's important to understand that when I look at a chart, the planet, the sign, and the house are the same archetype. So if I'm looking at Mars, or I'm looking at the first house, or I'm looking at the house that's ruled by Aries, wherever Aries in the chart, that's giving me the same information. And generally, you see the thread woven through the charts that way. It's not just a planet and a sign, and that's the whole chart. It's not quite that simple. So, let me start at the top. The first house is Aries' house. And like I said, there's nobody on the planet right now with Pluto and Aries, though there have been many famous people who've had Pluto and Aries. So if somebody goes back and does astro research, they're going to, you know, come across this. But there are certainly a lot of people with Pluto born in the first house. And this represents a new cycle of lessons. And the new cycle is true about any of the angular houses, the fourth house, seventh house, and tenth house as well. Aries and the fire signs in general have a sense of special destiny. They feel that they have a special mission for being here, because the fire signs themselves is spirit, it's chi, it's life force, it's the actual birth process itself. So there is this sense of destiny and of specialness. But people with Pluto in the first house are experimenting. It's trial and error. Traditional astrology likes to categorize the ascendant and the first house as what we project. It's not a projection. It's total instinct. The first house is birth. You know, we come into the world head first. We don't even know if somebody's going to be there to catch us. We don't think about it. There's no forethought except to just be. So Pluto in the first house are people who are learning about themselves with different paths. They're experimenting. And as such, they need a lot of independence. They're very independent people in order to have and achieve that freedom of self-discovery. Okay?
That makes sense.
All right. The second house is Taurus's house. And it's about self-reliance and self-sufficiency, because Taurus is ruled by Venus, and Venus is what's important to us. It's our priorities. It's where we find meaning. But in Taurus, Venus is in her inner expression, which is our relationship to ourself. So it's about that self-reliance, the self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a focus on physical and biological survival. It's why it becomes sex and procreation. And it's the search for where is my meaning? What's really essential to me? And, you know, meaning, you know, for some people that's money. For some people it's relationship, a job, power. For some person, the meaning is finding the teacher who can take them, you know, through new spiritual experiences. So it's different for everybody. But overall, it's identifying what our own essential resources are from our individual perspective. Okay?
Yeah, I like that. Okay.
All right. The third house is Gemini and Mercury. And here, and I should back up a minute, each of the houses, you know, is yang and yin in sequence. So Aries is a projection outward. We come into the world. Taurus is an inward energy. We look inward to find our resources. Gemini is outward again. And it's where we look outward into our environment. And the security, Pluto's security here, becomes understanding our environment from an intellectual perspective. We name things. We have language. We communicate. We connect intellectually with what's around us. Very, very Gemini. Facts, information, data. Okay, and it's where we find our voice. Generally, Pluto in the third house is someone who has had experience. Either their voice has been too loud or their voice has been too soft.
So they could be learning a balance with that, right?
Well, it's always about balance. It's always about balance.
Yeah.
Yes, we have to walk both sides of the street. We have to walk up and down, back and forth, forwards and backwards, sideways and upside down. We have to experience it every different way.
Mm. Yeah.
So in the fourth house, again, it's a new phase. It's a new evolutionary cycle. It's cardinal. And here we're in the moon's house. We're in Cancer. So it's learning the evolutionary lesson of security from an emotional perspective. It's finding our own emotional self-reliance. Where Taurus was self-reliance in terms of our resources, the fourth house Pluto becomes self-reliance in terms of our own emotions, not needing somebody else to validate our emotions, not depending on someone else emotionally for our sense of security, to be secure in ourselves. Okay. Does this make sense so far?
It's kind of foundational. Yeah, which is interesting because I always look at fourth house as a foundation. So that's kind of having a good foundation that's not dependent on something outside oneself.
Well, foundation is absolutely correct because it's our emotional body. It's our inner guidance system, and we are emotional creatures. You know, we're here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's such a common New Age meme that, you know, we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and I think we often forget that we're here for that human experience. And it's through our emotions that we have those experiences.
I love that you say that. And I think that's a big part of the awakening that's taking place is we're here on this earth plane for emotional experiences. We're earth. We are emotional beings. We have the emotional body is very important, you know, not something to be shunned, you know, and moved away from.
Right. No, the moon is our actually most conscious part, Michelle. It's our moment to moment interaction with the world. You know, we may have thoughts, Mercury, Mars, you know, our behavior, but it's through the moon that we experience everything. That's our moment to moment interface.
Okay, like that. Wow.
All right. So the fifth house, we're in Leo's house, and here we're young again. We're outward. And the moon is our ego. Again, I'll back up again a little bit because the moon is our moon in each lifetime is the egocentric structure that the soul constructs that contains its entire emotional history. It's our ego, and ego is not a bad word. If we didn't have an ego, we wouldn't know our name. We wouldn't. It's our focus. So in the fifth house, we take that self-image, that self-discovery that we're working with, and that becomes the personality that we project out into the world. And, you know, Leo, again, is a fire sign. It's that sense of special purpose, of special destiny. But in Leo, the ego is inflated to its max. It's the balloon that's blown up so big that the smallest little pinprick will burst it. The fifth hat, Leo is a pyramid where Leo sees itself at the very tip of the pyramid and everything is beneath it. It's a very extroverted but very often inflated, you know, kind of full of itself.
Can be
very full of itself archetype.
Mm-hmm.
That reverses. Yeah, go ahead.
No, so in the fifth, are they learning, again, the balance of the ego or learning self-expression?
Yeah, yes, they're learning to take what they have discovered through their own emotional experience in Cancer and to actually be that in the world, to project that as our personality. In EEA, sun actually, you know, the sun is the center of our solar system. It's where the life force comes to us, you know, from the universe. But for many EEA, it's the last planet in a sense that I look at, because everything is funneled through the sun. All the way we think, the way we act, our emotions all get funneled through our personality. It's like an extrusion. It's like the molten metal that gets forced through a mold. The Leo and the fifth house are that mold, that shape, that form that all of that energy takes.
Mm-hmm.
In the sixth house,
okay, I like that.
In the sixth house, there's a whole reversal because the sixth house is Virgo, and this is where the balloon gets popped. The lesson of the sixth house is learning humility, because the sixth house and the 12th house, when I get to it, are thresholds. Everything from the first house to the fifth house is very personal. It's subjective. It's us. It's just me. When we get to the sixth house, we actually encounter others for the first time. We're not yet in relationship.
Ah.
That's the seventh house in Libra. But we contrast ourselves with them. And in that contrast, we have the experiences of humility. And the pyramid gets turned upside down, where we actually become the bottom of the pyramid. And because we need to be refined and purified in order to be in a social sphere, to be able to be with other people. We can't be that full-blown, you know, full of ourselves Leo. We have to be deflated. We have to find some humility and balance so that we can be in a social setting, in a social context. So, and it's Mercury, so it involves a lot of self-analysis, self-work on the self, and it's often growth through crisis. It's often growth through crisis. In the seventh house, again, is cardinal, so we have a new phase, and this is where we form relationships with other people. But again, it's self-discovery. It's Aries polarity. So here is Aries finding itself in the mirror of others, in the mirror of relationship, where the relationships themselves and the social context and learning how to listen to somebody else rather than just hearing our own inner voice helps us to, again, perfect ourselves and to balance ourselves so that we can be more holistic, we can be more whole.
Yeah, so it's interesting that in this, I love talking about this, Daniel, because it's like there's a lot of this, you know, inner process and then a time to take it outer, or when you're looking up to, like you said, to the sixth house where it starts, you know, focusing more on the other, what we've learned, and then kind of, like you said, the bubble or the balloon popped and humility coming in. It's almost like in the beginning, you're really shaped and formed to a certain degree, you know, a certain level of confidence comes in. But if it's not refined, as you say, on the sixth house, that beginning on, and then the seventh, then we wouldn't be able to get it, you know, it would be over, you know, ego eccentric, you know.
Exactly. We wouldn't be able to be with other people. Nobody would want to have anything to do with us. It's quite simple. We would be excluded. Nobody invited us to a party. I mean, you know, life would not be any fun.
Right. Wow.
So,
okay.
We need relationships. So that's the refinement. But when we enter that seventh house, we have crossed the threshold because now we're entering a transpersonal realm. Now we're out with social context, and it's not just about me. Now it's about me and you.
Okay, so we have Tamara in the chat. Wait, what is seventh house? Okay.
Seventh house is where we enter into relationship because the relationships become the mirror of self, where we learn who we are and who we are not. And we can develop our own self in that mirror. We're actually looking in a mirror, because the seventh house is that projection. The first house isn't a projection. The seventh house is where we project ourselves into the relationship, and then we see what comes back.
So really, that seventh house, you're getting that. Finding oneself in the mirror of others, there's a lot more about the others, whether through projection or reflection, perception. But that's where that dance it starts, sounds like, Daniel, starts to be about, not just us, right?
I missed that word. That what starts? The D word?
Well, the dance, yeah.
Perception
was my perception, projection, the mirroring. It is about the other. I'm not just in this by myself, you know.
Exactly.
So yeah,
exactly.
I like that.
Yes. Yeah. That's when we begin to realize that there's a collective out there. It's not just us. Okay.
Yeah,
so in the eighth house, if the seventh house is the dating game, so to speak, the eighth house is the house of sacred marriage. This is where we make the commitment. Eighth and seconds are polarity, Taurus and Scorpio. So second house was our own essential resources, what we brought with us, the gifts that we have mm-hmm. innately within us to survive. In the eighth mm-hmm. house, we learn who we are and who we are not and who we cannot be. And it's where we are attracted or drawn to those resources outside of ourselves that we recognize also as being essential, but they have to come from somebody else. So it could be a person, it could be an idea, it could be a place. For me, it was evolutionary astrology. When I first found evolutionary astrology, I was drawn to it like a moth to a flame, because it was something mm-hmm. that I knew that I needed essentially as a resource, but I didn't have it in me yet. And I osmosed it. Scorpio is osmosis. I totally made it my own. It no longer was something external to me. I made a total commitment to it and merged. That's what happens in the eighth house of merge. And that's the house of marriage. That's the difference between dating somebody and going to a movie and actually living with them for 25 years. It's a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's like deeper commitment, right? Deeper commitment, even deeper emotional commitment.
It's a spiritual, mental. It's a commitment on all levels. Yes.
Mhm. Like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's also in Scorpio in the eighth house where our challenges come up, and again, because we're hitting a wall in a sense of ourself, so we are coming up against the limitations that are in this lifetime, the challenges that we need to overcome. And it's why it's so challenging, and it's why Pluto can be so difficult, because we're hitting a wall. We're hitting a wall. We're hitting the choices that were either denied to us or we chose to back burner, et cetera, that we didn't work on previously, or the limitations that we have not, overcome.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Ninth house?
All right, so in the ninth house, we're in Sagittarius and Jupiter's world. And Jupiter is all about the search for truth. It's about understanding life in a cosmological, metaphysical, philosophical, perhaps religious context. And it's the need to explain our connection to the nature of the universe and our world in the broadest sense. It's why travel is associated with it, because when we travel, we experience other food, other customs, the way that people dress, they speak, that are totally different than where we came from. And we have another whole perspective on reality. We have a total contrast to what we think is true. And so it represents that search for truth. However, Sagittarius and Jupiter are still a relative truth. It's still, it becomes the proselytizing priest. We think that our truth is still the whole truth and the only truth, and the reality of it is it's just generally just a piece of the truth. But it's the search for those answers, and it's the quest to understand that the beliefs and ideas. It's our belief system. Jupiter in the chart represents what we need to believe in order to be who we are. And if you think about that, and just apply it to our, I don't want to get political here, but if you just think about it in terms of all the political candidates right now, you'll see how it works.
Yes, boy, that's a truth. Yes. Wow.
Okay.
Powerful. Clubhouse. Yes.
All right. So in the 10th house, we're in Saturn and Capricorn's world, and Saturn is structure. Saturn is structure. Saturn is gravity. It's weight. It carries, some heavy reputation. Its reputation is not. Its reality is not as bad as its reputation, because it brings a structure, and sometimes that structure is painful. It's like all the women who tried to fit into Cinderella's shoe. I mean, they were going to get their shoe in there, but it just didn't fit.
Right.
But
it's a way to look at it.
It's the consensus that we agree to, and we need some consensus. We have to stop at a red light. We don't kill people. We don't steal. I mean, there's certain things we have to agree to live together. But there are also consensus extends into a range of man-made laws and customs and taboos
that we don't necessarily agree with, that maybe there's somebody's personal agenda, you know, coming out of that Sagittarian ninth house, that's their version of the truth. So, you know, in the 10th house, it is society. And what happens in the 10th house is where we learn to integrate our own philosophy, our own beliefs within the framework of society, of a culture, and either conform or, you know, don't conform or struggle with it. But this is what goes on there. Because the 10th house is consensus reality. The taboos, customs, and, you know, it's how we relate to all that or don't relate to it.
So there could be lessons of learning to either not to conform too much, or do we need to conform, or how do we fit in, fitting in perhaps?
Or we're carrying karmic vestiges of having to fit in and how it didn't work. So it can work the shadow. We're looking, you know, and because Saturn, it can be suppression, repression, depression. So, you know, it can carry all those qualities as well. It's authority, and it's how do we deal with authority, and how in the past has authority dealt with us?
Yeah. Now, I always thought the 10th house would be outward, right?
No. It's yin.
Oh, it's yin. Wow. Okay. Wow. Yep. Okay.
So the 11th house, we move into Aquarius and Uranus's realm. And Uranus is the deconditioning. Uranus is where we begin to strip away all those layers of the beliefs that our parents and our peers and our culture and our religion and our nation and, you know, all of that has overlaid on us. We're onions, you know, with many layers. I call it karmic trail dust. All the conditioning that we've picked up, not only in this lifetime, but in all the lifetimes before, the things that somebody else, the ethical judgments that were laid upon us, that we have taken to believe as, you know, are true, or we've taken them on as our own. And Uranus strips away that stuff. Uranus wants us to be individuals. They don't want us to be part of a herd mentality. We're not really, you know, all of us are the same under the skin, but we're not all the same. Every one of us is an individual. Mm-hmm. Every one of us has a unique frequency. And, you know, in consensus, that's squelched, that's kind of stepped on. And Uranus is that individuation process itself. And anything that shows up in the 11th house is there to be deconditioned.
Maybe that's why I don't like herd mentality. I like people to be unique and blended groups and not over-identify.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then the 12th?
Okay.
And we'll carry on just
house.
A little bit till we. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. And if anybody has questions, let me do 12th and we'll take some questions if there are any. I've got two screens here in my notes, so I'm not really watching the chat board, so you'll have to keep me updated.
The 12th house.
The 12th house is Pisces' house. This is Neptune's house. And this is the culmination and composite of all the other signs and planets and houses. Someone who has Pluto in the 12th house has experienced all the other archetypes. It's given them the sense of compassion and sense of forgiveness and understanding, because through their own journey, soul journey, they have experienced all those other archetypes. They know what it's like to be an Aries, what it's like to be a Taurus, what it's like to be a Cancer, etc., right down the line. And in the 12th house, we become aware of the unity of all creation, and to see and experience our own individuality, 11th house, as an extension of the source of all that is. And it's the desire and the need to seek and to seek and realize values and beliefs and knowledge that transcend time and space. Time and space is Saturn, but this Neptune is outside of time and space. It's where our higher self is. It's the ocean, not the wave. And we can come back to that analogy. It's the values where we transcend the values in the culture in which we're born into, where we find universal laws, natural law, as opposed to man-made law, and we start to integrate it into our lives and live according to it. It's not religion, so to speak. The Neptune and Pisces can be religion, but in its highest expression, it's beyond religion. It's not anything that's tied to this sense of right and wrong and the pain and the savior and martyr kind of stuff that goes on. It's outside of all that.
Mm. So it's really getting into that transcendent or transpersonal part of learning that, integrating and learning that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Daniel. We got people thinking in the chat. I'll get to listen to the archive. Yeah. Awesome info. Thank you for being here. So we got people humming in the chat. We will have to have you back again because now we're out of time. This gives an overview. You know, it really does, you know, and you said at the top of the program that it really is a soul perspective. And as you were giving these synopsises, I was thinking it really does speak to the soul and this whole idea of a soul journey or soul growth here, living soul expression,
yes.
that there is this focus on learning, you know, really,
yes.
you know, evolving. I guess, growth.
Well, isn't that why we're here?
I think a big part, you know, growth, expression, experience, you know, evolving, and to be more of who we really are, you know, on a soul level, I would say, yes, absolutely.
And what's important to understand, and this is often hard, and this was a hard one for me, Michelle, is to understand
mm-hmm.
that wherever somebody is in their journey, wherever somebody is on the spectrum, they may need
right.
that, you know, big fancy car. They may need to be the president of the company. They may need to be the loudest voice on the block or something. They need that experience. And until they fulfill that desire, Pluto or those desires,
right?
We have to fulfill it. I call it the law of saturation. We have to saturate ourselves with the experience. When we stuff that desire, that's when the distortions start. And that's part of what's wrong with our culture because, you know, things like sexual liberation has been so repressed that it's created all the distortions, you know, surrounding it. And it all comes
yeah.
from that Virgo, Pisces, martyr, savior, you know, ethical judgment
yeah.
with sin and hell and heaven. It's all wound up, and it creates the imbalances and the distortion. What we're coming through is a time when we're beginning to see through this. We're beginning to understand that we have to move past all of it, but there's still plenty of it out there that you know it still isn't saturated. So it's
mm-hmm.
we just have to go with the flow and you know. Just do the work on ourselves and you know, just do whatever we can to bring as much consciousness into our world as we can in any way that we can.
Mm-hmm. So getting out of that extreme polarity of the, you know, kind of hero, victim, you know, savior, victim, out of that Piscean, on an evolutionary astrology standpoint, what are we learning now? What's the outpicturing, I guess?
That's a good question. And off the top of my head, I don't know that I can identify a single thing. I think it's always love, but I think it's bigger than that. I think
yeah.
it's learning, you know, for some people, it's learning to stand in their power. For other people, it's learning
mm-hmm.
to speak their truth. For other people, it's learning to open their heart. You know, there are many, many parts of the soul, if you would.
Yeah.
And we have to learn for some people it's learning to honor their emotions. For others it's learning to honor the others. For some people it's learning to love themselves. I mean, we each have a different lesson and it's all part of the same journey. But it's a composite picture, it's a hologram. There's no single lesson that I think we can identify that
yeah.
But as a hologram, it's the unity and the balance that we all need moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think on that note, we're going to, and we've gone over a little bit, which has been great, and I appreciate you taking the time. You'll have to come back again. We'll continue. There's so much here.
I'd love to.
Great. And Tamara in the chat saying, great sharing. So a lot of people are listening by phone or computer right now. We've been talking with evolutionary astrologer Daniel Fiverson. You can find out more information about him, his personal work, healing work, and astrology readings that he does at forevolutionaryastrology.com. And that's the number 4evolutionaryastrology.com. Daniel, thanks so much for being here. This has been great. Really, really loved having you back on the program and loved the insight and information that you shared with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Thank you all for being here. This has been, I'm glad that some of you could stay by phone and computer. I don't know if you can hear by chat. Yeah, you can't hear anymore by the chat, but you definitely can phone. Well worth a listen on the archives. Lots more information. It's been a great program. I really enjoyed today. And thank you all those that called in, all of you holding down the fort in the chat, anchoring this wonderful energy that we all are. Have a sparkly rest of the week and weekend, and we'll see you back here next Wednesday, right? I think so. I'll be here. I hope you'll be here. And for all things Awakenings, guest suggestions, topic suggestions, questions you want on answered on air, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com or awakeningsradio@gmail.com. You can go to soulentrepreneurship.life for information on the group program. Selfenlight.com has a lot of resources, and of course, dailyohm.com. Navigate your great soul shift as well. And join me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Let's connect. Let's share. You're free to post whatever you'd like to on my pages. And, yeah, let's keep the connection going. All right, everyone. Have a great, great rest of your Wednesday. Have a sparkly weekend, and I'll see you next week. Lots of love and light.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.